Hello, I'm Alok Jha, and this is Science Weekly Extra from The Guardian. Now, before we start, depending on how you're listening to this, through iTunes, on your MP3 player, or on your computer, this is the second part of this week's programme. So if you haven't heard the first part, press stop now and listen to that. Or alternatively, listen to these answers and work out what the questions were. Unlike the solutions at the back of the textbook, you don't need to turn this podcast upside down to hear them. Swap papers with the person sitting next to you to make sure there's no cheating. Professor Ian Stewart set some puzzles for us, mathematical puzzles, earlier. Here's what they were.
You've got the digits 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 written in order on a piece of paper with some gaps in between. And you're allowed to put common mathematical symbols like plus or minus or times or divides in between those. And you've got basically three symbols, that's all you can use. And I want the result to equal 100. OK, second one's about cats. I see you've got a cat, said Mrs. Jonas to Mrs. Smith. I do like its cute white tail. How many cats have you got? Oh, not a lot, said Miss Smith. Miss Brown next door has 20, which is a lot more than I've got. You still haven't told me how many cats you have. Well, let me put it like this. If you chose two distinct cats of mine at random, the probability that both of them have white tails is exactly one half. That doesn't tell me how many you've got. Oh, yes, it does. So how many cats did she have? OK, the final puzzle is also about cats, but it's a logic puzzle. No cat that wears a heron suit is unsociable. No cat without a tail will play with a gorilla. Cats with whiskers always wear heron suits. No sociable cat has blunt claws. No cats have tails unless they have whiskers. Therefore, no cat with blunt claws will play with a gorilla. Is the deduction logically correct?
Ian's back now with the answers and why. Now, before, Ian, we get you to tell us what the answers are, Nell, how have you been doing with these puzzles in the hours we've given you to work them out?
I've kind of got stuck on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there seems that there must be an easier way to doing it, but I have to confess I've just been doing a bit of trial and error of going, oh look, 456 minus 789, it's kind of 111, that's kind of close.
Is trial and error a good method for solving that sort of scientific mathematical problem?
It's a perfectly good method as long as you do it systematically. If you just keep trying things without sort of working your way through possibilities,
a lot
of mathematics is actually done by systematically working through the possibilities. So trial and error is fine, but what we have to avoid is keep trying the same thing and making the same.
So tell us, you've got these numbers 1 to 9, spaces in between them. You can only use three different symbols, and you've got to make it exactly 100. How'd you do it?
Okay, 123, 1, 2, 3, minus 45, minus 67, plus 89 makes 100.
Wow.
Damn!
Hang on.
I started from the wrong end.
I was assuming you'd have to multiply and put numbers, symbols in between all of them and multiply them up and stuff. I think I made the problem too complicated for myself. That's a good one. That's a great pub quiz.
You can't really use algebra for that. You can't substitute the symbols with an A or anything like that. Maybe we need to devise a new technique.
Yeah, it's not a conventional algebra problem. That's absolutely right.
That's a pure pub problem, that is. Okay, Ian.
They're going to love us tonight.
The white tails and the cats.
We've got a number of cats. Some of them have white tails. And the probability that if we choose two cats at random, both have white tails, is exactly one half.
No.
How many cats are there?
What do you reckon? Go on. You've had hours.
I can't do these things in 30 seconds.
Ask your questions.
Okay, so... hold on, we got two cats taken from Smith, and any two cats taken from Smith.
Yep.
And we know that she has at least one white-tailed cat, so there's kind of the minimum number of cats that she has to have in order for the probability to be exactly half is two. No. Yes. No. Oh, God. Taking two cats, so she has to have four. She has four cats. Oh, it's,
are you responsible for money now?
You're actually getting there because four cats is right.
And we know that that's less than 20. It's less than 20.
Yeah. Less than 20 is just to rule out that there is another solution in which she's got 21 cats.
Right.
If you have 21 cats and 15 have white tails, then the chance that a pair of them both have white tails is the number of pairs you can get from 15 cats divided by the number of pairs you can get from 21 cats, and that reduces to exactly a half. But we want to rule that one out. If there are four cats, then the number of pairs of cats is basically 12, and if she has three white-tailed cats, the number of pairs of white-tailed cats is 6. That's taking them in either order of cats, and 6 over 12 is a half. And if you do the sums, those are that's the only solution in whole numbers smaller than 20.
Now, do you reckon that's...
So, four cats.
Go back and look up my... Is it factorials?
Factorials, yeah.
It's binomial coefficients.
Binomial coefficients.
Nell's right
many
again.
Years
there are factorials involved in these things, though. Nell, do you think that that puzzle is simpler or more difficult than balancing the Guardian's budgets, which you're going to have to do soon?
I couldn't possibly comment.
And the final problem.
Final problem was the problem about cats and heron suits.
Ah, yes.
You want it all again?
This is the logic suit. No, this is the logic problem. I don't think we need to...
Which one, the final line?
What was the final line? Is the deduction logically correct?
Okay, the second, penultimate line.
Okay, the answer is it's not. Now, how do you show it's not? Okay, here's a proof that it's not a correct deduction. Consider a cat with blunt claws that plays with a gorilla, does not wear a heron suit, has a tail, has no whiskers, and is unsociable. In that case, the first five statements I made are all true, but the sixth is false. So the deduction can't be correct. If you start with true statements and make a logical deduction that's a correct deduction, the statement you end up with must also be true.
See, in my random trial and error way of doing that one, again, I would have made it too complicated. I would have started off by saying, OK, assume a cat with whiskers. Now, what would it do?
Humans are very bad at trying to disprove theories. That they never go... When you see a hypothesis, humans normally are very bad at going, OK, in order to disprove this hypothesis, what do I need to do?
Ian, what kind of person does it take to be really good at this sort of stuff?
It helps to have some sort of natural interest in maths, I think. If you're really not interested, it's sometimes very difficult. It's part of the art of teaching, of course, is to get people interested. Some of us, and I was one of them, when I was a kid, I was interested in this stuff. Actually, most young children are very interested in numbers and shapes and things like that. But I think most of them, as they grow up, a lot sort of lose their interest. Maybe they feel it's too childish, it's not cool, whatever. I didn't. And so I've always enjoyed this sort of thing, even when I feel I'm bashing my head against a brick wall and I cannot solve this problem. It just makes me more determined to find out what the answer is.
So when you solved the Riemann hypothesis, what would it feel like? Is it sort of a visceral hormonal response?
I'm not tackling the Riemann hypothesis because I think it's not my area and it's very, very difficult. But within the last few weeks, I solved a problem I've been working on for about a year, a research problem. And the feeling is one of enormous pleasure, joy, very, very happy. Oh, finally, I've solved it, you know. And also relief that having solved it, I don't have to think about this thing anymore.
Isn't it annoying, though? I mean, it must be brilliant to solve that, but you know, you can't tell anyone. It's like, you tell people, I've solved this amazing problem. They're like, what's the problem?
Ah,
okay.
Look at my completed crossword. It doesn't work, does it?
We get to tell people because we get to publish the results, you see.
Oh, very
so
good.
Professional mathematicians have a way of showing the world what wonderful things they've done.
Well, let's leave it there. That's it for this informative Science Weekly Extra podcast. Let us know how you got on the blog. That's guardian.co.uk/scienceweekly, and don't post the answers there, otherwise you'll only ruin it for yourself and everyone else. You can find more puzzles like this in Professor Stewart's Cabinet of Mathematical Curiosities, out now. We'll be back next Monday.